greet each and every one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see if I can get this microphone on. Yes, it's working now. I want to greet each and every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, I thank the Lord for this opportunity once again to have the privilege to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that He has brought, that we are built upon. As we heard Don McLean say yesterday, he said the scaffolding and so forth, or the foundation was the apostles and prophets and so forth. And so that is our foundation. And whatever foundation was laid, that's what I'm going to stand on. I'm not standing on any other foundation but that which was laid. When you build a foundation, everything that is built is founded upon that foundation. We can't go try to establish another foundation than that which is already laid. So I just want to thank the Lord truly for the blessing of knowing this foundation. Question for you. Honest hearts. That's what it's all about. Who's going to be saved? The ones that have honest hearts. Are we willing to follow God wherever He goes? In other words, what I'm saying is, have we built religious fences around us to where we won't receive anything if it's not what we've already been taught, if it's in the Word of God? If I can prove in the Word of God, without a shadow of a doubt, in God's Holy Word, in the New Testament Bible, that the gifts of the Spirit are here today for us. Because it seems that that's what we want. More than witnesses, more than anything else, we want to talk about, does the New Testament Bible teach? That's what we're here for, to see. Does it teach that the gifts are in duration today? And if it is, if I can prove it in the Scripture, would you believe it? Honestly. Honest to God, if I can honestly prove in the New Testament Bible that they are here today and will be here until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you believe if I can prove it in the Scriptures? Or are we going to still stay stuck in our religious mind? You know, religious denominationalism, whether or not we call ourselves a denomination or not, will block us from going on past it. There's things that I've been taught that have kind of kept me from reaching out toward God, but I'm over hurdling these things. I'm growing every day. The Lord reveals things to me, and I have to accept them. I can't compare them to what I've been taught. If I can prove right now with a Scripture in the New Testament Bible that they will be here, would you believe it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Will prove how long the spiritual gifts will be in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. So that you come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, come behind. That word means lacking. So that you come lacking and no gift. You can look it up in any of your concordances, Bibles, or whatever. That gift is a spiritual gift. So that you come lacking and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gifts will be here until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 19. The Scripture says, this is the New Testament Bible. Everything in the epistles is for us. There's nothing written in the epistles. And if anyone can prove me wrong, if our opponent can prove me wrong, there's nothing in the New Testament epistles that's not for the church. That is not a part of the apostles' doctrine, that is not for us today. Anything that Paul told us to do is for us today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prophesyings were taking place, and they still will take place. Going to go to Romans chapter 12. This is all New Testament Bible. This is how the church was built. This is how it was established. And this is how it will keep us. These are letters written to the church. These aren't just the apostles doing these things. These are letters written to the church, telling the church how to operate, how to edify one another, how to encourage one another. The church was given 9 gifts. 9 spiritual gifts. They were given prophecy. They were given speaking in tongues. They were given interpretation of tongues. They were given healings. They were given miracles. They were given discerning of spirits. They were given knowledge. They were given wisdom. And there's another one I missed, I'm sure, because I just had eight, but... and faith. They were given faith. First Corinthians, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6, says, having been gifts, deferring according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So, he said, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Will faith continue on? How do miracles come about? If faith is still here today, how are miracles brought about? The Bible says, according to the portion of faith. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I ask you this, do we still have faith today? And if we have faith, then can we not still do the things that the Lord promised that we could do? I say unto you, we can. The only reason that you will not be able to do these things is if you don't believe. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater. In John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, the works that I do shall he do, and greater. Can we do that today? Let me ask you a question. Do we believe this book? Do we believe every word that's written in this Bible? Can we take this word and go to God and say, God, this is what you said. This is what you said. Let me talk a little bit. I want to move toward healing a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about healing. I'm going to say something to you, and you might not receive it at first, but I'm going to prove it in the Scripture after I say it. Salvation, the forgiveness of sin, salvation and healing go hand in hand. Whenever the Lord commissioned His disciples, His ministers, to go out, He told them to do two things. Go preach, cast out devils and different things, but He said, go preach the gospel to them and heal the sick. They went hand to hand. I want to read something to you. This is the only probably Old Testament scripture that I'm going to read, and then I'm going to tie it in with the New Testament. I want to go to Psalms chapter 103, and I want to show you how they go hand in hand and prove it, how it carried on to the New Testament church. Psalms 101. Beginning in Psalms 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. God has benefits. When you work for a job, they give you benefits. Sometimes you get days off, sick days, holiday pay, different things of that nature. God has benefits. These are the benefits of God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I want you to remember them two things right there. Who forgiveth, who healeth. Who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases. Those two things, remember that. Forgiveness and healing. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Remember that. Remember those two things, they go hand in hand. Healing and forgiveness go hand in hand. Matthew, as far as the ministry goes. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. And behold, they brought to him a sick man of palsy and lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You notice how he didn't say, be healed? But instead of saying, be healed, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, that stirred up some stink here. Verse 3 says, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing the heart, said, look what he said. Wherefore, think ye evil in your hearts. For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Which one's easier to say? You're forgiven, or you're healed, rise up and walk. Whichever one's easier. They go hand in hand. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all of His benefits, who healeth. If He's still a forgiver, if He can still forgive, then He can still heal. And not only can He still heal, but He still does heal. And he doesn't heal impotent ways that we like to pretend He does. Well, I heard the man say, the Church of Christ preacher say yesterday that he believes God's a healer. But let me tell you what he believes when he believes He's a healer. He believes He heals you naturally. And he can tell me if I'm wrong when he comes up here. That your body will naturally heal you. Matter of fact, I'll deal with his questions here in a minute. I'll go ahead and talk about this and I'll deal with his questions. I didn't have a chance to really... I had a chance, but I didn't look them over like I should have. But I will deal with them immediately after I talk about the healing. But he believes God will heal you naturally. And he will not do... So in other words, what I'm saying to you, if you have AIDS... Or you have cancer or something like that. You can't go to God and pray. If your baby has a fever, can we not pray for our baby? Lord, bless this fever. And the only way that He'll bless it is He won't do a miracle. He won't do a miracle now. Something natural in the body can take place, but God will not directly intervene and do a miraculous miracle. Or do we think that miracles are on different levels? In other words, if the cancer just disappeared, that's not a true miracle. If it just disappeared, the doctors say it just, the body did this or that. God is still a healer, people. If He's not a healer, then what is our faith for? What do we pray? Why do we even pray? Why do we pray? I had seizures. I was hit over the head with a beer bottle when I wasn't living for God. Got bleeding in my brain, had seizures. They gave me medicine, said I can never drive again. And that I would never be able to drive again. I'd have to take this medicine for the rest of my life. But I was so ignorant. I guess I never was taught any different. But I was so ignorant to believe, if you call it ignorant, that God is a healer. And there's a scripture that came to me. If there's any sick among you, do you believe this? This is to the church. Well, let's just go there. James chapter 5. I believe this scripture. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? You say, well, yeah, I got faith, but God's not going to heal me. Well, let's read the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let me ask you here that do not believe in healing. When you get sick, according to this commandment, if we are New Testament, in other words, when I read before this, it says, if there's any married, let him sing psalms. Do you do that? When you get married, do you sing psalms? So, yeah, we do that. We do that. When I get married, we sing psalms. But do you obey the next part? Is there any sick among you? Let him call 911. No, I'm not reading that right. Is there any sick among you? Let him take medication. Is that what? No? I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm reading that wrong. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's what I do. That's what I did. I was sick. Had seizures. I'd wake up in the hospital. Say, what happened? Oh, you had a seizure. You owe us $2,000 for the CAT scan. Take this medicine. You can't ever drive again. A couple months later, wake up. Had a seizure. What happened? Oh. Well, you had a seizure. You owe us $2,000, take this medicine, for the rest of your life you can't ever drive again. It kept happening, over and over and over again. Finally, I just believed this Bible, and I obeyed it. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Do your preachers do that to you? We do that. We do that. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Are we supposed to be believers of the New Testament Bible? If we are, we have to obey it. I mean, honestly, within our hearts, let's not examine what I'm saying by our preconceived notions of what we've always grown up in church and believed. Let's look at the Bible, what He's saying. If we obey the Psalms part, if you're happy, sing Psalms, then let's obey the sick part. Is there any among you afflicted? Let them call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint him with oil. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, not the oil, the prayer of faith. Look at that word, faith. Do we still have faith today? The prayer of faith, not the natural things in the body, the prayer of faith, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. When you are healed of a sickness, whether it be AIDS, I've heard testimonies of people that have had AIDS. I've never heard of a cure of AIDS, but if you want an actual testimony of one that came to the church that had AIDS and was healed, I'm sure I can hook you up with a testimony. I know of an individual. Is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith. When did faith cease? Now faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. Look what he said. If they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. What did Jesus say? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk. Which is easier? He says, they'll anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, the Lord will raise them up, and if there's any sins there, they'll be forgiven. They went hand in hand, didn't they? They went hand in hand. They went up to get a healing, and not only did they get a healing, their sins were forgiven them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all of His benefits. This is a benefit, but if you forget it, well, you get sick days, but if you don't take them, they might not remind you about them. I'm gonna take the Word of God and believe it. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. If I ask you, do you believe every word that Jesus Christ said? Every word. Do we believe every word? The Bible says, if any man consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it's something about doubting about strife and contention, where I've come and strive and contention. We've got to consent to these words. If we are ministers, if we're preachers, if we're believers, we've got to consent to the words of Jesus Christ. So you tell me, if I make this statement, am I wrong for making this statement, for quote reading this scripture? Mark 11, beginning in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Do you have faith in God? Faith, hope, and charity. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Do you have faith in God? Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a miracle. That's a divine intervention from God. Whatever you, when you ask, if you got a sickness and you, if you got one hand, Don McLean says something about you don't see these miracles. There are them miracles. The deaf ears would be opened. I've literally seen with my own eyes. I've seen with my own eyes a deaf child, a deaf young kid that couldn't hear, and his ears were covered, and a man of God prayed for him, and then the man began to speak, and the young child began to repeat what he said. With my own eyes, I've seen. The deaf. Is that a miracle? I want to say one more thing. I mentioned yesterday, but some of you might not have been here. I want to go to John, the book of John, chapter 12, and then I'm going to deal with his five questions. John chapter 12, just to make sure we don't run out of time. John chapter 12, just to go over this one more time. Verse 44. No. Bear with me. John 14, verse 12. I want to go over this one more time and reiterate this. Can I take this word and just believe it? Can I just take it and embrace it and hold to it and believe it? It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the requirement of what I'm about to read is you've got to believe on Him. You've got to believe on Him. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Can I believe that? Can I believe that my Messiah, my Lord and Savior, the one that I follow, the one that I walk after, said that I can do the works that He done, if I believe? want to deal with these five questions so then I can just go on and not have to worry about time. Because I have to get these done before he likes that. I guess we have to get these done before he gets up. How many minutes do I got left? 10 minutes. Okay, we better get to this pretty quick then. Was any portion, and Lord willing, we're going to talk about tongues on the second half. Was any portion of the doctrine of Christ revealed? Was any portion of the doctrine of Christ revealed after the church began? Yes. Was any portion of the doctrine of Christ revealed after the church began? Yes, the church began on the day of Pentecost. This is his first question. The church began on the day of Pentecost, and the apostles' doctrine, Paul wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, and he brought a lot of doctrine. And so, yes, there was doctrine revealed after the church began, yes. Second question, why is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 13 in the New Testament Bible? The reason it's in there is because Paul's saying that now abides faith, hope, and charity. Now we know in part. Now we prophesy in part. There's coming a time that these things will be done away. What he was doing was he wasn't diminishing the gifts. And chapter 13, the 13th chapter, but well, the whole chapter, he says verse 8 through 13, I'm just going to say the whole chapter, which includes 8 through 13. The whole chapter was, he started off saying, well, let's just go there. First Corinthians chapter 13. Look how he starts off. He says, and we know Paul spoke with tongues. We know Paul had revelations. We know these things. But he says in 13, and when he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and not all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, there's that mountains thing, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long. And then he goes on and talks about charity. And then he goes into the part where he says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spank as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. What he did, he was exalting the fact that you can have all these spiritual gifts, you can do all these things, but charity is the most important thing. If you can move mountains, if you can have revelations, if you can speak in tongues, but you don't have charity, you're nothing. And the reason the chapter was here, even verse 8 through 13, was all about describing the fact that charity is what it's all about. And if we're built upon anything outside of charity, then we're nothing. All right, he says, have you ever used the term now in a logical sense rather than referring to time? Yeah, I can say, now I'm fixing to go do this. Now. Now means now. Now I'm up here on the podium. Now this gospel is in effect. Now we're living in the New Testament era. Now means now. When I say now, I mean now. Now could also mean tomorrow. If I say, now we're living in the New Testament era, if Christ ain't come back tomorrow, we're still living in the New Testament era. So yeah, now means now. Now means exactly what, I mean, we can twist it and try to flip it around, but now means now. And if you weren't here yesterday, the reason of that part is because they wanted to say that there's going to be a time that charity, faith, and hope will continue on. Scripture didn't say continue on. It said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And now means now. And still now. Because he said, now we know in part, but he said, then shall we know as we're known. When are we going to know as we're known? When we see him as he is. All right? The fourth question is, can God heal a person without performing a miracle? Can God heal a person without performing? God puts it in all of our bodies to have immunities. All of our bodies have immunities, and so, I mean, we naturally, God's made it to where we naturally heal ourselves. But like the woman that had the issue of blood, who had it for 12 years, went to the physician, didn't get better, but rather grew worse, but she had what? Faith? I do believe he thinks faith is still around. She had faith. She touched the hem of his garment, virtue left him, and he said, daughter, be of good courage, thy faith hath made thee whole. Was that a miracle? I say that it was. The doctors couldn't help her, nobody could help her, and so it was a miracle. So, can God heal a person without performing a miracle? I think any time God intervenes, we can take any technical term we want to take, but we know what a miracle is. a miracle is, if God doesn't do a miracle, this baby's going to die. If God doesn't do a miracle, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. In other words, if God does not intervene and change the course of nature, then something, in other words, the way things naturally are going, the baby's going to die or this is going to happen or so forth. But if God will step in and then supernaturally step in, then that's a miracle, I believe. And we can take any Strong's vines we want, but we know what a miracle is. We know what a miracle is, and that's what a miracle is. All right. What is the difference in nature of miracle, of the miracles that you have experienced and witnessed, and the thousands of miracles documented in the Catholic Church done through idolatrous relics? Well, I don't really follow the Catholicism. I don't participate with them, and I don't follow their pagan worships or idolatrous ways. So I really don't keep up with that. So I can't answer what the difference is because I don't even know what the Catholics do. But I can say this: Satan does have a power. When we find in Moses' day, Moses, Aaron's rod turned into a snake, and so did Pharaoh's servant's rod turned into a snake. We find that whenever there is black magic, there is dark things. If they're doing things with idols, I don't doubt that. I do believe that there is dark magic. We find that whenever Saul lost contact with God, he was rejected of God. Where did he go? He had all the soothsayers, or them that had familiar spirits. He went to a woman that had a familiar spirit, and he said, "Conjure up whom I ask." And she said, "You know, Saul has people killed." And he finished himself as though he wasn't Saul. And so she conjured up Samuel. She conjured him up. He came up. She said, "You deceived me." And she conjured him up, and Samuel came and said, "Why have you awakened me? There's black magic." Yes, there is. Satan does have power. But now, would we say that the power that we're using is of Satan? Well, I would say this. Jesus was casting out devils. And someone said, he cast devils out by the prince of... How many minutes do I got? They said, you cast out devils. When he was casting out devils, they said, yeah, he does this by the spirit of Beelzebub. And Jesus said, a kingdom divided cannot stand. A kingdom divided cannot stand. But he said, all manner of sins shall be forgiven, the sons of men. All manner of blasphemies, whether they blaspheme the Father or the Son. But blasphemy of the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. And then the scripture said right after that, for they had said that he cast out devils by the prince of Beelzebub. If we by the Spirit of God cast out devils, if we by the Spirit of God lay hands on the sick, and in the name of Jesus Christ, and the sick are raised up, are we doing it by the Spirit of God or are we doing it by the Spirit of the devil? Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to say it's by the Spirit of the devil, that's the only unforgivable sin Jesus said. Blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. To see a work of the Spirit, to see a move of the Spirit, a work of the Spirit in His name, and say it's of the devil? Now, I haven't heard any of these men say it's of the devil, but I'll tell you what. It's either of the devil or it's of God, one or the other. One or the other. We're either laying hands on the sick, we're casting out devils either by the Prince of Beelzebub or by the Spirit of God. The demons are coming out. The sick are being healed, so it's either by God or it's by the devil. And who would be bold enough to say it's by the devil? Well, some said that, but Jesus said that was the only unforgivable sin. How many minutes do I got? How many minutes? 2 minutes? Okay. Ain't a whole lot you can say in 2 minutes, but there's a bunch I want to talk about on the second half. I just don't want to get started too much into it, but we'll go to... thank you, Jesus. I guess I'll just reiterate one more verse that we talked about last night on this part. And the next part we'll talk about is the tongues. We're going to go to Mark 16 and 16. We talked about this last night. Some of you weren't here. I'm just going to go over this one more time. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. If I lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover, and Jesus said this sign would follow a believer. If I cast out devils, if I speak with tongues, is that scripture? Is that the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? Is this the faith that Jesus Christ stated right here? And did not Jude tell us to earnestly contend for half of the faith that was once delivered to the saints? He didn't say half, did he? He said for the faith. Whatever was once delivered, that's what we got to contend to. Or contend for. How many? What is it? 1 minute? 30 seconds. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Do these signs follow you? And if they don't, why not? Because did someone stand before you and tell you that they're not for you today and you believed them? And if you didn't believe them, then you, he said, these signs shall follow them that what? That believe. Not them that don't believe. Don't expect to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick if you don't believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. May the Lord bless you.